Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, a Game 5 Finals Monday here. And not only that, Rangers trying to bounce back from getting swept in Seattle. Bryson DeChambeau wins U.S. Open. We have a lot of talk about. Here we go, General, at your service. Salute to you. There's Brian Broaddus. Lucius Alexander is back home in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. Wolchuk and Schiafalo are here. Carter Freeman is coordinating your video back home at 105 through thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. You can watch us. And thanks for making us part of your day. All right, here we go. Let's start with the Mavs. Do you believe a little bit, or is it just all hope? How much has your belief-o-meter risen since last we broadcasted, gentlemen?
I feel like I'm in a very good space personally. When we left and the way we handled it Friday, it was like, you know, if we can keep this thing going, that's awesome. If they don't, okay. This was an amazing run, and I don't expect this to be the last for this team. But, yeah, the way that they came out and played, it seemed like they figured out some stuff defensively. Lively continues to get better and better. Hell, Luka showed up and played some defense, which was incredible to see. So I think there's some question marks. Boston's a team that certainly I believe is going to bounce back. How the stuff you were talking about, Eric, with Kyrie Irving, what version do you get? I mean, I'm definitely hopeful, but I think I've put myself in the personal feeling where, like, I'm not going to get heartbroken if indeed it's their last game tonight. I'm expecting, you know, we're playing with house money here. If you're able to advance it, now all of a sudden there's some doubt that's going to creep into Boston. You come back home for a game six. Now you're starting to get a little bit more excited. Now maybe then on Thursday when we're prepping for game six, I'm going to think, okay,
right,
can we do this? But
right,
tonight, I think there's so much unknown going into it that it's like, hey, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to enjoy it, and whatever happens, happens. I'm hopeful, but I'm not expecting victory.
I'm 100% with you. I'm 100% with you, and I'm keeping it alive. I don't know about you. Yep, same with you, Wolchuk. Not wearing Mavericks gear on a Mavericks game day. That's betrayed us. That has betrayed you and I over the course of this this series here. So I'm running it back that way. I am hopeful more so than I am believing. I do think there are opportunities here, and maybe some things have been found in terms of what the Mavs are doing now offensively. That's been the biggest struggle for them, is being able to score enough points. They've gotten a slightly better in each game than obviously with the huge one in the previous game. But going into Boston, I do think this is going to be a much more ready. This wasn't like a heartbreaker, emotional, you lose by 1 point Boston Celtics team trying to rebound. This is you got blown out, and usually teams respond in that scenario, especially at home in a closeout situation.
Yeah, so if you can outplay them tonight, then by halftime, I'm going to be ready to believe.
Yes.
Like, wow, Boston went home like, oh, crap, that sucked. Well, we're going to bounce back and, you know, finish this in our house. If the Mavs can out-execute them on both ends tonight, I'll be a little bit surprised, but I will become convinced that this is very doable. Brian, what are you hearing? What are you seeing down there?
Yeah, I just working and talking to people. They've still got the same ideas that they want to try and implement that they did in game four. They felt like they played with really great energy. They felt like they had the defensive effort that they needed to. They got their bigs involved. They knocked down some shots. There really is a group. If you talk to them, they're very positive about their approach in this game. They feel like that, you know, that they can go on the road and win one of these games. They felt like there were some games they should have taken earlier in this series and just didn't find a way to get it done. So they're playing with a lot of confidence, or talking about having a lot of confidence here. So I feel like that we're going to try and see a little bit of the same game plans and things that we saw in game four, maybe translate over to them in game five.
Yeah, I know that, and that's kind of what makes me just a little bit hesitant to believe right now is when you're like, hey, why'd you win? Well, we had great energy. Yeah. Okay. That's not what you build belief off of. That is, the other team felt like this is in the bag, had a letdown, and you were competing out of pride and embarrassment based on what happened in game three. So I need like the chess match to be in your favor. And they've also, you know, made some adjustments. I do believe in the theory. There's a story up. Is this from NBA.com? That, you know, the Mavs just get better as series go on.
Sure.
You know, that's a real thing. You know, so I believe, you know, Jason Kidd has an ability to make adjustments in between games that puts him amongst the best in the league at doing. You know, I think as the time goes on, the questions that they're asking defensively of Luka, after a while, you know, that whole thing gets figured out and they figure out an efficient way through. But, you know, right now it's still a leap of faith until we get to about halftime of tonight. Let's build a lead and maintain it. What needs to happen, you guys think, as far as, you know, trends or X factors going into this game? What's on the top of your look for list?
Well, you need to maintain, for me, Luka, I mean, defensively, he's got to remain engaged.
How confident are you in that?
For tonight, I'm pretty confident. I think, you know, and Higgy talked about this earlier, you're able to see stretches, and I think we saw it in the Minnesota series. Like, he held opponent shooters 12 of 11, 18.2% in game four. Now, is he going to complain at the officials again? That might end up happening. I do think he's going to be engaged on the defensive side of the floor. The other thing is the role players. Like, you got a fantastic performance. Now, numbers can get a little skewed when there's 2 minutes left in the third quarter and basically Boston's waved the white flag. So have the Mavs. You have THJ come in, bang down five threes. But you did see Dante Exum was playing really well before the game was totally out of reach. I mentioned what Lively was able to do. You had Maxi Kleba come out, hit a big three for you. Maybe that's something that helped his confidence. I mean, that's something where Maxi can definitely be an X factor if he is not going to be allergic to shooting the basket. You know what he's able to do defensively at times, but I think that you have to maintain having your role players come in and perform. Where they've lost games is relying solely on Luka, and then you'll see what you're able to get from Kyrie. You can't just have it all be on one man against a team that is so good in Boston.
Yeah, I'm confident we're going to get, once again, dominant Luka. On the road, I have this theory that I've just concocted that he's much more willing to chirp at the referees at home than on the road, because the only adversary at home is really the referee.
Okay.
On the road, I got guys that I can find here courtside that I don't have to get fired up by the ref. I'm getting fired up by this dude. And now my whole life is dedicated to making this guy cry, okay. Mother bleeper,
yeah,
like we saw
it.
Sitting next to Snoop Dogg. So I do expect, even beyond that, home or road, he just proved he could do it at home too. I think he's locked in now. I think this was sort of, at least in the short term, a rock bottom. Now, yeah. We'll look forward to big picture, but I do think you're getting great Luka tonight.
I like that. That's a great take, because the 817 just asked, and I was going to bring it up, do we really think Luka is going to refuse to play defense again?
No.
I think it's possible because of what Chief was just talking about here. Like, competitively and psychologically, it is a tempest, you know, and it's going one way. There's no rhyme or reason for it.
Mm.
You know, it's unexplainable kind of what happens to make him do some stuff that makes absolutely zero sense. And game three proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt, him hunting fouls and flopping and laying down and not getting back on defense. Like, that just showed you how out of control he is with the ability to focus it. So the right set of circumstances, yes, like his team's on a 20-2 run, but he's one of five. he's ticked off still. Yeah. There's something that happens when he's embarrassed or shown up. Like the other team dares to stop him the majority of the times down court for about 10 minutes, and he's going to be looking to point the finger at anybody regardless of what else is going on in the game. That's my belief.
I do think that's a great point of the game that we just saw was Mavs dominance from start to finish.
It was. Yeah.
He didn't have to, he wasn't agitated at all. He's getting his, they're up by a bunch. There's nothing to be upset about. He's so happy and we're so in control that I'll put my hand up when you call the foul because we're just, we're here. Yeah. When it's nut crunching time and things aren't going well and you're down six and your shot's not falling, now you feel like you just got fouled, and I can see a world where it's happening. Yeah. I'm just banking on him having the emotional intelligence to control it right now when he knows all eyes are on him. His coach is going to bat for him. People behind the scenes in the building are going over to him like, hey, man, come on, let's get this. I think you can lock it in for another four quarters. Please, God, tell me you can.
Yeah,
please.
One of the things that Reggie brought up in the earlier, you know, when, in their broadcast was the fact that teammates, coaches, people are asking him, you know, they're going to Luka, and we were all kind of wondering who's the guy or, that's going to talk to Luka. Who is that? Who's going to be that person? It sounds like to me it's really, you know, his teammates, his coaches, they're asking him, and Reggie pointed it out, and Reggie's really became locked into what's going on with this Mav team. I mean, he's done a great job of digging on a lot of things. Found out, though, that, you know, they're saying, hey, listen, don't complain about the first two fouls. You know, let things kind of like, if it's a foul, let it go.
I heard Derek Lively saying that. Yeah, I mean, how about the leadership from the youngster?
Exactly.
Dude.
So they're asking him, they're like, listen, don't worry about the first two fouls. You know, we'll just kind of play through it and see what happens. If you know in the game he fouled out, he had a foul in the first, he had a foul in the third, and then all the other fouls came in the fourth.
Sure.
So, you know, there's a point in time where he played a lot of basketball before he committed a foul. Hmm. So they're just asking, like, listen, you get an early foul, play through it. You get another foul, play through it. So I like that. And Luka, all he has to do is see how differently his team reacts and plays when he's not riding the officials the whole game. You can sense that the coaches and the players, his teammates, are like, okay, here we go. You know, and it just kind of it brings that added pressure. They all know now, okay, we've got to play 4-on-5 here because Luka's not going to be engaged.
Yeah.
You know, that puts pressure on his teammates, and they're asking him, hey, please, you know, just hang in there, man. Hang in the first couple of fouls, and then let's see where this thing goes. I want to believe after what he saw the other night after game three, I want to believe that he's like, okay, I have to control myself. I have to control my emotions in order for us to have success.
A couple of pretty good topics there for you at 877-881-1053. Do you think that Luka has turned a corner on this, and do you believe in the Mavs, or are you still kind of just in hopeful mode? The Franklin injury attorney text line is open as we broadcast to you live here from Globe Life Field. Rangers in an AL West hole. The quote, we're better than this, after they get swept by the Mariners. I don't know. You've played like 70-plus games now at this point. It's kind of getting kind of hard. I guess, you know, Josh Young's return.
That's all I can
fix some of
I
it.
Can hold on to right now. I mean, I had a bunch of people reaching out like, what the hell, dude? Offensively, nobody was hitting. You had Corey Seager over 12 over the weekend. Dolis wasn't good. Durant's been bad, 3-for-22. We were hoping you take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. Now all of a sudden you got some positive juju going your way. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Now, the Mariners did a great job. They lined up their three best pitchers. They went up against you, and certainly yesterday was a buzzsaw that you went up against. You had 2 hits the entire game. Yeah. So you got to cross your fingers and hope, you're about to get some reinforcements back. Scherzer had another good relief outing. He's going to rejoin the club here soon. Spores was pitching last night. He's probably coming back soon. Josh Young. But I don't know how long they can go now and be like, hey, eventually our guys are going to click back into form and we can rely on, we do have a good offensive club. I think they've got to be looking at some moves right now, and I do expect them to still make some. I still would lean they're going to be buyers over sellers. I think they believe that this team still can, if you get into the postseason, could possibly make a run. Just get a wild card spot at least. But you were 5.5 back. Now you look up, you're 8.5 back because you got swept over the weekend. That was a very disheartening 3-game series in Seattle.
Yeah, it was, especially coming off of what they did against the Dodgers. It was fun. You know, there was reason to believe. But then you go back and look at that Dodgers series, you scored 8 runs. You scored just 7 runs, I believe, in Seattle. So It's not time yet, but I think it's in the not-too-distant future, maybe the next 30 days, the next 45 days, where you're going to have a heart-to-heart with that conversation. Are you going to go from World Series champs to not even making the playoffs?
Well, maybe you need to think about this. If you're having – and it's a big gamble. It really is a big gamble. If you feel like that this pitching is going to come back, and can you move maybe some of your surplus pitching that you have now? Can you, can you move one of these relievers?
I like it.
Can you move, Urania? He's shown that he's been able to, can you go and find a bat? Can somebody need pitching? Because you might, when it's all said and done, I watch these games, I know, like we all do, I never feel like the pitching is the problem here. I mean, we've had some, Robinson had a loss the other day, but then comes back against the Dodgers and has two historical outings against them. The pitching to me is not the problem. They need to find sticks. They need to find timely hitting. You can't get, have a big inning in the first and then go the rest of the game with two hits.
Yeah.
You can't do that. And that's where this team's struggling.
Let's find a center fielder that destroys left-handed pitching. What do you say?
You talk about the pressure on Josh Young coming back.
Yeah.
Everybody's thinking when Josh comes back, this is going to be all normal and fine.
The only thing you have to hope for.
Yeah, that is. But to me, now I would consider maybe some of these pitchers that you've shown that have been able to go out there and get last six, seven innings, quality starts, and not get any run support. This might be a time to think about moving one or two of those guys. And then because if you got guys coming back, you'll have some surplus that you're going to have to deal with.
And this is the time to think about picking up some tickets for this series against the Mets. Tomorrow is Seager and Simeon Silver Slugger Bat Night. First 10,000 fans. Hello. First 15,000 on Wednesday getting the Dairy Max Marcus Simeon replica postseason jersey. And that, of course, is a Dollar Dog Night. Mexican Heritage Nightcap is a Saturday. And today, of course, is a Terramana Monday, where you'll be having a good time in that Terramana Tequila Terrace.
Right below us here, where we're broadcasting
Terramana
from. So we'll see you down there.
Salute to Bryson DeChambeau, wins the U.S. Open as Rory stumbles down the stretch. Was that three bogeys in the final four?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a bad joker. Yeah. Unfortunate for him. And he's, it's been one of those situations where, it's been 10 years now since he last won a major, and you don't have many of these opportunities. He put himself in a great position to win that thing yesterday. He just couldn't finish it off.
Maybe he should, use his time to work on his game instead of butting into other people's business. Chuck Wagon's coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
Yeah, we got some college football news. Let's talk Mike Leach, Les Miles, and are we trying to oppose the opt-outs in the bowl games? Maybe we got something to fix that. That's next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at the Globe. And thanks for making us part of your day. Fired up for, you know, Rangers-Mets tonight. Pregame at 6:30, first pitch at 7 o'clock. A lot of great things going on at the ballpark here. You want to get tickets for those. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by Soda, that's state-of-the-art. And this segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable accidents happen. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Here's Zach.
Man, a pretty cool deal at Barrel and Bones tonight in Farmers Branch. We're all rooting for a Maverick Game 5 victory, but if you want to go, I saw this on Fox 4 Sports here, if you want to go check out the game at Barrel and Bones, they, if the Mavs win, will be comping all open tabs. So you got to stay until the final buzzer to qualify.
Talk about throwing
some bones. Mavs, yeah, if the Mavs get a Game 5 win, you're eating and drinking for free. That is a hell of a deal.
It's a fun sort of game within the game.
Yes. Like, now, do you go huge?
I think you monitor and see how the game's kind of playing. At halftime, if you're down like double digits, you're like, you know what? Let's go ahead and call it. I'm going to close my tab and I'm going to go ahead and eat this now. Whew. As opposed to
I guess
you just ride it out no matter what, just in case, in terms of staying there and keeping it open.
Yeah.
But you're not going hard in the paint. Now, if you get another situation like Mavs blowout style,
yeah, Derek Lively,
if this is a repeat from the other game,
yeah.
Now you're sitting there in quarter number three just cleaning up. Yes, another order. Yes, another one. Let's make it two. Let's make it three. What does he want? What does she want?
I'll take a double, maybe even a triple.
All of a sudden, the bartenders get real serious about looking for signs of visual intoxication. Yeah. You're cut off. You're cut off.
I'm like, baby, I'm just here for the burgers. What are you talking about? Dial that up.
Slide me a good tip, and you're all right. But, hey, good deal. If you're looking for somewhere to go watch the game, that could be a good spot, absolutely, especially if the Mavs win. You could be eating for free tonight.
Yes, dude.
Now,
yes.
We got
I'm bringing the family.
I'm going to saddle up right now.
Yeah, just post up.
I'm saying
all-you-can-eat shrimp.
I'm texting wifey saying, F bedtime for the kiddos tonight.
Bones,
they're coming with
Branch.
Us. They're getting chicken tenders all night long.
That's
Luke is
going
to bring this thing home tonight.
And hell yeah, Luke has been
iodine poisoning.
That's right.
And he's been dominant in game fives. Now, I mean, we talked about this in game two. We were hoping, okay, he's going to be able to get the Mavs will be able to get a win. But Luka in game five so far this postseason has been absolutely dominant. 34 points per game, 9 rebounds, almost 9 assists. They're 3-0 are the Dallas Mavericks.
Luka Doncic has been the worst for my Prize Picks pocketbook, though.
He's been hitting
over on the points every time.
And he doesn't even play the fourth quarter the other night.
Exactly. I'm like, gosh, that's a no-brainer night where he's obviously going to go over. You had the game a couple games ago where it's like 20 points in the first quarter or whatever.
Yeah.
He still doesn't get the over. I had a nice five-legger situation going with Prize Picks that got bleeped by my guy Luka.
That stinks. I did hit the more on the Lively, and that ended up working out for me. But you're, I mean, like even P.J. Washington, I went more on his points, and P.J. didn't have to stay in there very long, so that went less. So if you went less on some of the Boston stuff, you went ahead and cashed in a big, big way. But we can redo Prize Picks tonight, and hopefully, I'm okay if it's another blowout win. Maybe you just got to play the first couple of minutes of the fourth quarter so Luka can make that extra 3 points that we need or whatever it might be in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, and gosh, if he just hits 1-3 in the previous game, which he goes like 0-for-8,
yeah.
And how about that? You win the game by that much, and Luka's going 0-for-8 from downtown. My gosh.
Well, and one of the most bet tickets tonight, apparently, according to BetMGM, Luka over 2.5 made threes. He has not been good from three this year.
I think he's 1 for his last 15.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, what's up? I think you need to blame Joe Mazzulla on that one. He waved the white flag.
He did.
Like, usually he would wait to the fourth, and he once he waved it, then, like, it.
To be fair, Boston's always waving it.
It took like, Jason a little bit of time to kind of, like, okay, he really is quitting here.
Yeah, they quit.
Yeah,
and so then,
like,
but yeah, I mean,
left
so I would blame your prize pick. I blame the problems on him.
It is Joe.
For quitting too early.
Yeah.
I heard he quit before your second plate at the Chinese buffet, Brian.
I'll tell you what,
did
man.
You punish that after the Tito show, the transfusion show on Friday?
Okay. Do you think going over two plates or at
over.
Two plates?
If you went at two, I'm a little disappointed.
Well, he is a man of consistency, and he says he's a two-plate guy.
He says he's a two-plate guy, but also four plates of soup.
That's a three-plate. That's
extra,
bowl.
I went two plates, extra soup is what I did.
How many bowls?
Three. Is that a two and a
three
half?
Bowls?
Three
That's
bowls.
Fine.
Yes,
three,
the hot and
three
sour.
Three bowls,
soup,
a hot and sour.
They had the game on. They had the game on.
Did you stay the whole way?
You know, game
no,
six,
I
you
stayed.
Go back.
I stayed through the first quarter.
Yeah, wow! Then, in one quarter of play, he punished three bowls of soup.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And two plates.
But I'll tell you what, man. The thing about it was the orange chicken. The egg roll was excellent.
There we go.
Always is.
But see, I instead of like embarrassing myself, which I normally do.
Yeah.
I kind of went for the somewhat healthier choices. But more soup.
Other than the orange
I left the rice. I left the fried rice
You went heavy
alone.
On the hot and sour.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah,
sure.
Good for
yeah,
you.
I'm,
yeah, you look far less bloated this time than you usually do coming out of
I meant to call you guys and see if you made it home okay.
We did.
I couldn't even do that.
We were safe. We were good to go. But you might need to go back to the Chinese buffet until the Mavs lose. We might need to have you there for all these games from now.
You know what?
Yeah, if you don't have to twist it off. Music to Brian's ears.
I walked in there like I was at the gunfight at the OK Corral when they walk into the bar like Doc Holliday. Like I swung that door open and I'm like, I'm Daddy's back.
That's awesome. Well, we got some drama going with your LSU Tigers. Les Miles has filed a lawsuit against LSU, claiming that the school's decision to vacate 37 of his wins from 2012 to 2015 have eliminated him from consideration for the College Football Hall of Fame. According to the suit filed in the Middle District of Louisiana, he's seeking appropriate remedy for the blot placed on his good name and reputation. I guess the fact that 37 vacated wins dropped his career winning percentage below 600, and I guess that's something where they look at and they're considering that, and that's the reason why he's not eligible right now.
National championship, though.
Yeah, he did have a national championship.
I would like to see all the coaches that are in the College Football Hall of Fame that didn't win a national championship. I would be interested.
If your winning percentage is below 600, it's an automatic cutoff for a coach to be considered.
Wow. So if it's under 600,
yeah.
So that's a hard and fast rule they got.
That's
huh?
a yep. So those 37 wins dropped him below that, and he's saying this is bull bleep. I got those wins. LSU,
you want to run a dirty program, and then on the other side of it, sue the university for vacating the wins. Doesn't he know that at LSU they do things with integrity and honesty?
Right, it's integrity. It's integrity there.
Darn right, Dawson.
It's integrity, baby.
That kind of attitude will get you a long way in life.
My goodness.
We also have Mike Leach dealing with the same thing. He is sitting at 596 with his career winning percentage.
I believe
just
him.
Shy of the 600
mark. He can get over 600.
And they lost some games that he had.
Can we not waive that for Coach Leach? Come on
we
now.
We absolutely should. Pandering
post-mortem,
to the
mortem, of course.
Yes.
Pandering to the dead.
Time now live at Globe Life Field in Arlington for the G-Bag of the Day. Into the Pink Cup we go. Here's Lucius.
Check, check, check. One, check, two. Say you know what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me? Sound
yeah.
good? All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Let me get my little bombs and everything together. There we go. All right, we're in the groove. Now, how many days is this for Fan Phenom winner Blake and his horrible... unfortunate fumble
He's
on the radio.
Looking for four.
All right, yes, that's our winner. You go to Sundays with Red Medford here on the fan. Our fan phenom winner, Blake. Stumbling and fumbling on the radio.
How close is Denver and Colorado?
What?
Huh?
What?
What did you just say?
What? That's marked. That's going to get
yep,
marked.
Yep, thanks for that.
Well, they're saying the Denver Nuggets. And Denver is the state. Colorado's the city. And it's the other way around. It's one of the two. It's one of the two. I know it's one of the two. You're not going to get me.
G-Bag of the Day will be tomorrow at 2:30 right here on the fan.
Just sending that one in now.
I just wanted to make sure we appropriated the Denver Nuggets.
You just said that Denver is a state.
So it's Colorado's the state. I caught it then. Colorado's the state. Denver's
you
the state.
You did not catch it. What do you
I
mean?
I caught it. What do you mean?
I did not catch it. What do you mean?
Yeah. Ignore that. Let's go on.
You somehow didn't catch it, and you still fumbled.
I didn't catch it.
You completely short-circuited the way we do the rules here.
Yeah. Did you guys have a good Father's Day yesterday?
Yes, sir,
yes,
I did.
Pretty good.
Thank you for asking.
How about you?
Yeah, fantastic, man. Had a great Father's Day yesterday. Got to see my pops. Yeah, he made something called Chicago chili dogs. I googled this stuff. I didn't know what it was. I was like, maybe you got the location wrong or something on the name of these dogs. But they were good. They were not hot dogs. They were full ass meat links.
Yes,
there you go.
They were links with chili and some real cool coleslaw on there. They were fantastic,
oh,
really.
Pretty, delicious.
Yeah. Very nice. I was hating it at first because I couldn't find it anywhere on the map. I was like, well, this ain't Chicago. anyway, let's go to
Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah, Chicago dog usually, Lucius is a pickle,
yeah,
slaw,
yep, tomato.
Yeah, right? Tomato, yep, involved too, but the chili's a little bit of a southwestern twist on it. I like it.
Yeah, it's different. All right, yesterday was Father's Day. Let's go to Red Sox player right here, Tristan Casas. His in-game interview about his father was just something to be heard.
So I'm in coach pitch, and, you know, I'm so young. I don't really know what's going on at this point still. I'm still just playing baseball just to burn calories and get out there and get some sun.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I get out one day, and I come back to the dugout crying, pissed. And, you know, that's what a six-year-old does. He sits on the bench, and he cries, and he doesn't want to go out there when, you know, his team's playing defense. So my dad, you know, being the dad that he is, trying to teach me the lessons that he did in his own special way, came into the dugout. He actually grabbed me by my shirt, dragged me to the line, and Looney Tunes style kicked me out onto the field. And actually had one of my best friends that I went to high school with later. He ended up playing pro ball. His mom actually called child services on my dad, had him arrested at the field. No, for real. This is no joke. At the field, crazy. I see my dad go away in the cop car, gets arrested, send the night to jail.
You're kidding.
But that day, my dad taught me a super valuable lesson.
Wow. My dad taught me a super valuable lesson. Holy crap.
Wow. I bet he did.
Wow.
Oh.
The Looney Tunes kick onto the field.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny with the big Looney Tune kick.
Get your ass out there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, that's hilarious.
I mean, that was wheels off right from the very beginning, and it just kept, like, advancing.
Yeah, it was hysterical.
What was the lesson?
no matter how you feel, you need to go out there and perform.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. You can't let your teammates down. You can't let the people that's watching the game down, the umpires, yeah, everybody else there. So you got to give your best effort.
That's very 1960s of that dad. I appreciate the effort there.
Yeah. Coach Boilermaker right there.
Sure.
Get your ass out there, kid.
Yeah.
Let's see. You guys watch the Tank Davis fight?
Hell yes.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was really great. It was like about the sixth round where Tank Davis's his trainer said, hey, man, scorecard looking kind of funny for you right now. I'm going to need you to turn it up. And then he went out there and commenced to kick ass for the next two rounds.
Gosh, the explosiveness.
Is this true about this fighter? You almost had to fight a perfect fight to beat him?
Seems that way.
That's what I was hearing some people say. Like, you just don't show up against this guy. You almost have to fight perfectly to beat him.
Yeah. And I didn't like how, like, you can see before the match, you can see Tank Davis getting ready backstage. You know what I'm saying? Right. He's punching the mat. He's looking good. He's got a nice little lather going. And then you see my man Frank Martin sitting there just like Spence was, just chilling.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that. All right. Anyway, Jim Gray, they were showing Tank his little knockout punch. It was an uppercut, and then he finished it off with a nice little pow.
There we go. Okay. There was the big left. Tell us.
No, but.
Go ahead.
I thought it was an uppercut first. I hit him with an uppercut.
You did. We'll take another look at the uppercut, and we'll go back. Here we go.
Boom. That's what it was. The brick had just finished it off. Boom.
He's right, though, because Frank Martin was limp for that second shot.
Yeah, he was out of there, bro. Yeah, he was looking nasty. Yesterday was a church day. Hope you got your blessing. If not, I'll shoot you the glory.
Get the glory. We shoot the glory. Sha, sha, sha. We shoot the glory. Sha, sha, sha. We shoot the glory. Sha, sha, sha. We shoot the glory. In the name of Jesus, we shoot it out like an arrow. Sha, sha, sha. We shoot the glory in this place. Sha, sha, sha. Sha, sha, sha.
Yeah. All right, man, that's it for me. Let's go.
There it goes, Lucius Alexander, and your G-bag of the day. I did not see the fight, but I did see the first two episodes of The Boys.
Let's go! Yep. Yes.
The very first two episodes where he runs right into the person and disintegrates his girlfriend?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Man, I'm in. I love it.
It's great. You're going to love it, bro. Good. You're going to love it.
Yeah, I mean, the end of the second episode was incredible, too.
It's
like I was fired up, like, last night to watch this, and then fiance wife gets talking about a Father's Day family movie night.
Oh.
So
did you get to pick the movie?
No, damn.
So it's not Father's Day.
I had to watch one that every other both day kids would watch too.
I learned that for my first Father's Day. It's not a hey, what do you want to do for Father's Day? It's here's what we're doing.
It's can you be the ideal father?
Yeah.
Can you make all of our dreams come true?
Yeah. Good day. And I appreciate.
Yeah. And I was happy to do it. I really was. It was amazing.
So a test day of the year where you have to like recertify in being a dad.
Yeah.
And they're just gonna put a bunch of challenges on you. Hey, blow this huge thing up so we can be in the pool and then I do it, it takes 3 hours, then you get in there for 3 seconds, and now it's not fun anymore.
It's amazing Father's Day. Just doing everything to bring the family together.
Just an awesome time.
All the chores.
Sorry, man.
No, you're good. You know what it's like.
I had a great one, bro.
I did too.
I had a great one. Out there in that big old house my dad just bought. Yeah, living like kings. Yeah. We look like those black folks on, what is it, next Friday?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's next Friday. We just hang out here.
Is it the champ, Blake Elliott, looking for four today? Ooh. Is it the Red Sox player, Tristan Casas, telling a Father's Day story of his own? Tank Davis got the dub with the uppercut. Or shoot the glory. Sha, sha, sha.
Yeah.
Shoot the glory. Sha, sha, sha. I'm gonna go with our champ, Blake. Now, how about you, Chief?
I'm going with my guy, Tristan.
Alrighty, Lucius.
Yes, Blake.
Well, Chuck?
I think I got to go for Blake as well.
Brian?
I'll vote for Tristan.
By a score of 3-2, and still your G-Bag of the Day champ. Tune in tomorrow as he goes for 5. If you ever miss a G-Bag of the Day, Lucius replays the champ for you in L.A. Live every night about 5:40. Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking us, buddy?
Yes, sir. Is your NFL team under pressure to succeed in 2024? We'll talk about that next.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at the Globe. Here we go, and it's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. And here he is, the king of the Krusty's, brought us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, General. Glad to hear everybody had a really great Father's Day. How was yours, Zach? You were good?
Yeah, had the whole family come over, and we set up like a little pasta making buffet station.
There you go.
It's pretty cool. So it was neat. It was a little bit weird at first, like being told Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess I am a dad now. You know, it takes getting used to. But it was cool. I got these socks that have Eliza's picture on them.
Wow. Dude.
And a keychain with her picture. So
it's incredible.
She was adorable, man.
Good for you.
It was great.
That was my first Father's Day gift for my wife, was socks with my firstborn's face on
them.
And then but she didn't follow up with baby number 2 and 3.
Oh, dang it.
So I feel like we need to get that figured out.
Huh. I tell you what, though, it's Father's Day strange. I mean, like I say, my dad's 85.
Uh huh.
So you kind of like I hate to be morbid about things and stuff like that, but you're kind of sitting there thinking, you know, we take this picture and all. Yeah. I mean, that's like my favorite thing every year is to take the picture with me, Bennett, and we've been doing it since he was a little boy.
Right.
So now, you know, he's about to be a junior at Texas, but you know, you're sitting there and you're like, is this going to be the last time we do this?
Well, your dad got his hand back this year.
He did get his hand back, and I told him before we took the picture, I'm like, listen, put your hands outside the shirt so it doesn't look like you've lost a hand.
This is the first thing
Captain Hook.
First thing my eyes went to was his hands when I saw that picture.
So great.
I wish he would have done the bit where he just hit both hands this time. He's just losing limbs every year.
Yes. We lose limbs. Hey, remember last week I told you about how I would handle like the yellow coat guys and gals that run onto the field and stuff like that. And handle
the security guys in the outfield.
Got a Tolo. Our buddy John Nelson. He's a steward in Anfield there for Liverpool.
Oh, sweet.
So he's a steward, and he heard our show. He loves our show, by the way. Just absolutely loves our show. He sent me the directives that they use to determine how to select the guys or gals that go out onto the field. Because he heard me say, hey, I would have like a little combine. You know, I'd make these guys work out, some guys with agility.
See them in action.
All right, this is what he said. He said, on stewarding for soccer, he goes, I did it for the 14 years, and there's nothing worse than watching a load of overweight stewards chasing fans.
I disagree.
It looks more like the Keystone Cops is what he said.
Yeah.
We take it a different approach coming off at four corners. So they have a plan. They come off the corner.
Secure the perimeter.
Right. They box is what he said they do. Mm-hmm. He says their approach is four corners, box people in. If they get past the pitch side stewards, Then he goes, now we got some problems.
Don't let him break contain.
But he says at Anfield, he says, I put my big and fastest guys pitch side, is what he said. And they stop people in their tracks.
Good.
So if you're if you go on.
Okay. Where the hooligans are.
So yeah, he, if they go on, he's got his best yeah. yellow-coated guys pitch side.
Smart strategy.
And ready. So, like, okay, squeeze with four.
Yeah.
Fast, big athletes
yes.
pitch side in case that they get past.
Coming in
waves.
You
almost want to have a separate budget allocated to find the right guys yeah. that, and for those jobs.
Yeah.
You can't mess around there, man.
No, you don't. You don't mess around at all.
Yeah, oh, because your entire staff embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah. If you get to Bowser and you beat him, now everybody's standing around going, "What are we supposed to do now?" That guy has to be legendary.
He said, "Okay." He followed up. He says, "He goes, I went to Wales with the club for the final against Cardiff." Mm-hmm. Is what he said.
I think it's Cardiff.
Is it not, Cardiff?
I think it's Cardiff.
You said it right.
Yeah.
Is it Cardiff?
I think it's Cardiff.
Cardiff Giant.
I think it's the Cardiff. That's the name.
You're right, Brian.
Hey, you know, agree
what
to disagree.
What are you doing?
Tomato, tomato.
Trying to keep my friend honest over here.
It's Cardiff. That's the name of the soccer club, right?
Don't want to pull you offsides.
Okay.
I don't know, Brian.
My God. They had two ex-rugby players. I hate you most days. Most days. Not all days. Most days.
Most days. Hey, no days.
Not all days.
Not all.
Most days.
Thank you.
They had two ex-rugby players on pitch side.
See, there you go.
One fan tried to get it and got 2 yards before he got smashed.
2 yards.
2 yards. He got onto the pitch, 2 yards, smashed.
Was it Zeke?
I don't know. Like a two-yard gain. It just...
All right, I didn't know he was such a soccer
fan. Now you're
fan.
Back. I like what you did there. Okay, you're back. You. He goes, I do love the... He said this. He goes, I do love the idea of a combine for pitch side security. It would make for good TV.
It would.
So for the last layer of defense guys, the guys that are supposed to be yeah. your top dudes,
yeah.
those guys need to pass some checkpoints. I think that's yeah. that makes all the sense in the world.
So see, I didn't feel like I was totally crazy thinking no. like, hey, I don't want to... I don't my if I'm running security, I don't want my guys to get embarrassed. You know, I don't want to be the one, oh, here we are.
No. Oh, it's a poor reflection of you.
Yeah, it's a poor reflection of me if I'm hiring guys and gals
yeah.
that can't handle the task.
Okay, is the worst day for that guy in that position is like the bottom, just worst day when your crew ends up on the not top 10
yes.
sports center?
Yes. Yes.
Like, that's the pinnacle yes. of
juked
disaster.
Out. One yes. guy's yeah. broken his ankle. The other
you're
guy's
a laughing stock in the
off.
Whole industry. Yeah.
No, no.
As bad as it gets
you,
right there.
You get credit. You get credit when you've got, like, the rugby player that wastes somebody going on. Now you're...
Maybe you're on SportsCenter top 10 because now, your guys. So, like, he had yeah. such a you-just-got-jacked-up moment. We got to put in the top 10 now.
See, I would do this on the big screen. I would have my top 10 people running onto the field and getting smashed.
Ooh,
so I would make the announcement... Them. If you want to run onto the field,
yeah.
you know,
here's
please be.
And it's our highlight reel.
Number,
that's smart.
Number 10. And then yeah. some guy just getting walloped. Number 7. Guy, like, breaks him in half.
Getting drilled.
Number 3. He gets clotheslined. And now you see the crew running on with the stretchers yeah. to pick the guy up.
Yeah.
And then number 1.
A drop
kick. Now they got a spatula trying to get the guy off the field.
Yep.
Here's you know what I'm saying?
Like, we got flip, blood
like,
guts
they're
everywhere.
A, like they're on a flat top. And they got a, like the training staff has a spatula, and they're like, "Oh, he's not quite coming up on." Like he just
play on.
Yeah, I would. I would show top 10.
Yeah,
and that would be yeah. like my fan base would look at that and go. I don't know about you, Charlie. I'm not going on the field today.
You're taking this one serious. You're yeah. going to have to double whatever bet, maybe triple or quadruple whatever yeah. bet you just made
I
with
would
your
not,
boy.
There was no way in hell that I would go on the field after I would show you my top yeah. 10.
Those guys
and all my guys
assassins.
Would be down there with their arms crossed. I'd have them lined up.
Yeah.
Like lined up
Bring
with
it
the
on.
Arms crossed. You know,
the
like,
only thing you're doing there is you're eliminating the weak ones, but there's always one guy. You know,
there's always one guy.
And he's probably yeah. a supreme. Like, there's probably reason for confidence with that one guy. Like, when you get the random streaker, it's going to be a bona fide super streaker beast
yeah.
who feels like he can go toe-to-toe with your guy. So every time you have a streaker, it'll be probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah. All right, 7 teams in NFL under the most pressure to succeed in 2024. You think your Dallas Cowboys are on this list?
Yes.
Yes.
You do?
Lame duck coach, quarterback. Coordinator.
You would assume that they should be on the list.
Well, the Jets are number one on
I don't
this
believe
list.
That.
You know, that Woody Johnson, he's entrusted Robert Saleh. We've all seen that. The Philadelphia Eagles are number two.
Yeah, because Nick Sirianni's really going to get canned if they don't.
Philadelphia's defense was a black hole for much of the year, ranking 28th. So that's something that we need to keep an eye on.
Well, Vic Fangio's there now to remedy that.
Yeah, well, Miami Dolphins are number three on this list.
Ooh.
Starting last year, 11-4, the Dolphins sure looked like the part of the Super Bowl.
24 years since a playoff win.
24 years.
None of them have the delusion of their fan base, though, that the Cowboys do.
Well,
that's where the pressure comes from.
Here you go. The Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. They're the biggest nemesis, both made this list. The Cowboys were one of the best in the NFL in 2023 regular season, finishing at 12-5.
Yeah.
Fourth in overall team grade. However, this is all PFF stuff. In classic Cowboy fashion, it all went away in the playoffs, with the explosive Packers upsetting the number two seed at AT&T Stadium. Jerry Jones has yet to pay Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, but each is in strong position to reset the quarterback and receiver markets respectively. Whether Dallas can legitimately retain both is up in the air. Even if the Cowboys manage to retain the pair long term, there may be some cap casualties on the other end entering next off season.
Yeah, so, I would say the Cowboys' pressure is much higher because the clock struck midnight on the Eagles. Yeah. Everybody knows that the Eagles are, you know, they're not good. They lost Kelce, right? I feel like because of how the Cowboys' season finished, people are still going to think, oh, this Cowboys team is a contender.
Yeah.
With the Eagles, they're like, well, no, this Eagles team has a lot of rebuilding to do.
Yeah. To round out this list, the Atlanta Falcons are on this list with a new coach, believe it or not.
San Francisco's not on there?
Jacksonville is on the list as
Niners
well.
Should have
Jacksonville
should
Chicago Bears are on this list as well. Those are the seven teams that are facing the most pressure. But your Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles are right there together as the teams hopefully not end up with having to rebuild everything that they're working on right now.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
The Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. More NFL stuff next. Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day. What you cooking with today?
Brady makes his debut in the booth, and could we see this record broken in 2024? That's next.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at the Globe. Here we go, and it's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. And here he is, the king of the Krusty's, brought us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, General. Glad to hear everybody had a really great Father's Day. How was yours, Zach? You were good? Number one, right off the jump?
Yeah, had the whole family come over, and we set up like a little pasta making buffet station.
There you go.
It's pretty cool. So it was neat. It was a little bit weird at first, like being told Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess I am a dad now. You know, it takes getting used to. But it was cool. I got these socks that have Eliza's picture on them.
Wow. Dude.
And a keychain with her picture. So
it's incredible.
She was adorable, man.
Good for you.
It was great.
That was my first Father's Day gift for my wife, was socks with my firstborn's face on
it's
them.
Pretty
and then
cool,
she,
right?
But she didn't follow up with baby number two and three.
Oh, dang it.
So I feel like we need to get that figured out.
Huh. I tell you what, though, yeah, it's Father's Day strange. I mean, like I say, my dad's 85.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of like I hate to be morbid about things and stuff like that, but you're kind of sitting there thinking, you know, when we take this picture and all,
yeah.
I mean, that's like my favorite thing every year is to take the picture with me, Bennett. And we've been doing it since he was a little boy.
Right.
So now, you know, he's about to be a junior at Texas, but, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, is this going to be the last time we do this?
Well, your dad got his hand back this year.
He did get his hand back, and I told him before we took the picture, I'm like, listen, put your hands outside outside the shirt so it doesn't look like you've lost a hand.
This is the first thing
Captain Hook.
First thing my eyes went to was his hands when I saw that picture.
So great.
I wish he would have done the bit where he just hit both hands this time. He's just losing limbs everywhere.
Yes. We lose limbs. Hey, remember last week I told you about how I would handle like the yellow coat guys and gals that run onto the field and stuff like that.
The security guys in the outfield?
Got a Tolo. Our buddy John Nelson. He's a steward in Anfield there for Liverpool.
Oh, sweet.
So he's a steward, and he heard our show. He loves our show, by the way. Just absolutely loves our show. He sent me the directives that they use to determine how to select the guys or gals that go out onto the field. Because he heard me say, hey, I would have like a little combine. You know, I'd make these guys work out, some guys with agility.
See them in action.
All right, this is what he said. He said, on stewarding for soccer, He goes, it did it for the 14 years, and there's nothing worse than watching a load of overweight Stewarts chasing fans.
I disagree.
It looks more like the Keystone Cops is what he said.
Yeah.
We take it a different approach coming off at four corners. So they have a plan. They come off the corner.
Secure the perimeter.
Right. They box is what he said they do. Mm-hmm. He says their approach is four corners, box people in. If they get past the pitch side Stewarts, then he goes, now we got some problems.
Don't let them break contain.
But he says at Anfield, he says, I put my big and fastest guys pitch side is what he said. And they stop people in their tracks.
Good.
So if you go on.
Okay. Where the hooligans are.
So yeah, if they go on, he's got his best yellow coated guys pitch side.
Smart strategy.
And ready. So like, okay, squeeze with four.
Yeah,
fast, big athletes,
yes,
pitch side in case that they get past.
Coming
you
in waves.
You almost want to have a separate budget allocated to find the right guys for those jobs.
Yeah.
You can't mess around there,
no,
man.
No, you don't mess around at all.
Yeah, oh, because your entire staff embarrassed.
If you get to Bowser and you beat him, now everybody's standing around going, what are we supposed to do now? That guy has to be legendary.
He said, okay, he followed up. He goes, I went to Wales with the club for the final against Cardiff. Mm-hmm. Is what he said.
I think it's Cardiff.
Is it Cardiff?
I think it's Cardiff.
You said it right.
Yeah.
Is it Cardiff?
I think it's Cardiff.
Cardiff Giant.
I think it's the Cardiff. That's the name.
You're right, Brian.
Hey, agree to disagree.
What are you doing?
Tomato, tomato.
Trying to keep my friend honest over here.
It's Cardiff. That's the name of the soccer club, right?
Don't want to pull you offsides.
Okay.
I don't know, Brian.
My God. They had two ex-rugby players. I hate you most days. Most days. Not all days. Most days.
Most days. Ain't no days.
Not all days.
Not all.
Most days.
Thank you.
They had two ex-rugby players on pitch side.
See, there you go.
One fan tried to get it and got 2 yards before he got smashed.
2 yards.
2 yards. He got onto the pitch, 2 yards, smashed.
Was it Zeke?
I don't know. Like a 2 yard gain. It just.
All right, I didn't know he was such a soccer
fan. Now you're
fan.
Back. I like what you did there. Okay, you're back. You. He goes, I do love the – he said this. He goes, I do love the idea of a combine for pitch side security. It would make for good TV.
It would.
So for the last layer of defense guys, the guys that are supposed to be your top dudes, those guys need to pass some checkpoints. I think that makes all the sense in the world.
So, see, I didn't feel like I was totally crazy thinking hey, I don't want to – I don't my – if I'm running security, I don't want my guys to get embarrassed. I don't want to be the one, oh, here we are.
No. Oh, it's a poor reflection of you.
Yeah, it's a poor reflection of me if I'm hiring guys and gals that can't handle the task.
Okay, is the worst day for that guy in that position is like the bottom, just worst day when your crew ends up on the not top 10
Sports
Center?
Yes.
Like, that's the pinnacle of disaster. Yeah,
one guy's broken his ankle. The other
guy's you're a laughing stock in the whole industry now.
No.
As bad as it gets
you,
right there.
You get credit. You get credit when you've got like the rugby player that wastes somebody going on. Now you're
maybe you're on SportsCenter top 10 because your guys. So like he had such a you just got jacked up moment. We got to put in the top 10 now.
See, I would do this on the big screen. I would have my top 10 people running onto the field and getting smashed. Ooh, so I would make the announcement. Them. If you want to run onto the field,
Here's
please be
and our highlight reel.
Number, that's smart.
Number 10, and then some guy just getting walloped. Number 7, guy like breaks him in half,
getting drilled.
Number 3, he gets clotheslined, and now you see the crew running on with the stretchers to pick the guy up. And then number 1,
a
drop kick.
Now they got a spatula trying to get the guy off the field. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we got blood guts
everywhere. Like they're on a flat top. And they got the training staff has a spatula, and they're like, "Oh, he's not quite coming up on." Like he just
play on.
Yeah, I would. I would show top 10.
Yeah,
and that would be like my fan base would look at that and go. I don't know about you, Charlie. I'm not going on the field today.
You're taking this one serious. You're going to have to double whatever bet, maybe triple or quadruple whatever bet you just made
with
your
boy. There was no way in hell that I would go on the field after I would show you my top 10.
Those guys
and all my guys would be down there with their arms crossed. I'd have them lined up.
Yeah.
Like lined up
Bring
with
it
the
on.
Arms crossed.
The only thing you're doing there is you're eliminating the weak ones, but there's always one guy.
You know,
there's always one guy.
And he's probably a supreme. Like, there's probably reason for confidence with that one guy. Like, when you get the random streaker, it's going to be a bona fide super streaker beast who feels like he can go toe-to-toe with your guy. So every time you have a streaker, it'll be probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah. All right, seven teams in NFL under the most pressure to succeed in 2024. You think your Dallas Cowboys are on this list?
Yes.
Yes.
You do?
Lame duck coach, quarterback. Coordinator.
You would assume that they should be on the list.
Well, the Jets are number one on this list.
Believe that.
You know, that Woody Johnson, he's entrusted Robert Saleh. We've all seen that. The Philadelphia Eagles are number two.
Yeah, because Nick Sirianni's really going to eat canned if they don't.
Philadelphia's defense was a black hole for much of the year, ranking 28th. So that's something that we need to keep an eye on.
Well, Dick Fangio's there now to remedy that.
Yeah, well, Miami Dolphins are number three on this list.
Ooh.
Starting last year, 11-4, the Dolphins sure looked like the part of the Super
years.
Bowl.
24 years since a playoff win.
24 years. None of them have the delusion of their fan base, though, that the Cowboys do.
Well,
that's where the pressure comes from.
Here you go. The Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. They're the biggest nemesis, both made this list. The Cowboys were one of the best in the NFL in 2023 regular season, finishing at 12-5.
Yeah.
Fourth in overall team grade. However, this is all PFF stuff. In classic Cowboy fashion, it all went away in the playoffs, with the explosive Packers upsetting the number two seed at AT&T Stadium. Jerry Jones has yet to pay Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, but each is in strong position to reset the quarterback and receiver markets respectively. Whether Dallas can legitimately retain both is up in the air. Even if the Cowboys manage to retain the pair long term, there may be some cap casualties on the other end entering next off season.
Yeah, so, I would say the Cowboys' pressure is much higher because the clock struck midnight on the Eagles. Yeah. Everybody knows that the Eagles are, you know, they're not good. They lost Kelce, right? I feel like because of how the Cowboys' season finished, people are still going to think, oh, this Cowboys team is a contender.
Yeah.
With the Eagles, they're like, well, no, this Eagles team has a lot of rebuilding to do.
Yeah. To round out this list, the Atlanta Falcons are on this list with a new coach, believe
it
or not.
San Francisco's not on there?
Jacksonville is on the list as
well.
Jacksonville should
have. Chicago Bears are on this list as well. Those are the seven teams that are facing the most pressure. But your Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles are right there together as the teams hopefully not end up with having to rebuild everything that they're working on right now.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
The Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. More NFL stuff next. Wolchuk's NFL News of the Day. What you cooking with today?
Brady makes his debut in the booth, and could we see this record broken in 2024? That's next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.